1st, 2020. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, as always. I woke up this morning, and I felt so negative, all doom and gloom, and then I visited a friend, a colleague, and received an energy medicine session, and it made all the difference. There are so many negative things going on in the world, in your own personal lives, but it's really important that you take care of yourself and turn off the TV. If the news that you're hearing is stressing you out, then turn off the TV. It's fear-mongering at its worst. You're not going to get the truth. They're trying to make everybody afraid. And when you have fear in your body, you're going to get stressed out. You're going to develop emotional and sometimes physical illnesses that are going to really make you feel bad. So turn off that TV. Take care of yourself first. That's the foremost thing. You can't take care of other people if you're not taking care of yourself first. So I'm really happy that you joined me today. And I also want to remind you that the email list, Yahoo Groups, is disappearing on December 15th. So if you wish to remain on the email notification list, just subscribe. When I send out my email notifications, I give you the link. All you have to do is press that link to subscribe by mail. So that's the easy way to do it. So let's try and make things easy for ourselves. I just celebrated in October my 10th year here at republicbroadcasting.org, and 10 years went by really rapidly. I cannot believe all of the interesting, wonderful people that I've talked to, all the things that I've learned and shared with you. And of course, I also want you to visit the other two websites, SpingolaSpeaks.net, which is managed by a wonderful, giving, loving friend. It's just, he does so much work. I just so appreciate everything that he's done for me on this website and for you. There's a lot of information there. Also visit screeningsandyhook.net and join us in the chat room, and that is spingola.chatango.com. And you know where to find the archives. I know that I repeat this every week, and I know that sometimes when you're listening to a repetitive message, you don't get it. It just kind of waves over your head. Just goes in one ear and out the other. But if you want to look at who I've had the pleasure of interviewing on this program, just visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left side of the page, and you will be able to see everyone I've had on the program and links to their websites, information about them. And we may take calls later on. I'll let you know when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My first guest today is Eileen Dannemann. That's D-A-N-N-E-M-A-N-N. She's the director of the National Coalition of Organized Women and VaccineLiberationArmy.com. Eileen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Gosh, where do you start?
Oh, start any place. I kind of have a full spectrum knowledge of what's going on.
First of all, they've announced your interests are certainly in vaccines. And they've just announced that they plan on, they announced it several months ago, actually, that Trump decided that he was going to have the military deliver these vaccines. And this week it's come out that he's going to have them delivered to the most vulnerable people, people who have comorbidities. What are your views on that? Can you add some information there?
Yeah. So Trump actually all this time has been injecting into the narrative the benefits of therapeutics. He is actually not a vaccine apologist. He has had bad experiences with vaccines, with his children, had that recorded, on my website, or if you go to YouTube, you can look at a name called Who Will Crush the Serpent's Head? Who Will Crush the Serpent's Head? Which is about Donald Trump talking about the dangers of vaccines. So, but the thing is, his voting base, and most of Americans who send their kids to school, have been propagandized by the establishment and really wholeheartedly believe in vaccines. So he's got to give the population that option. I mean, just think about it. Most schools are 85%, 90%, you know, vaccinated. So he's got to give that option to people, but he himself is a very pro-therapeutic person. Now, the whole thing about the army, helping to distribute it, it's not that the army is going to go around and vaccinate you. It's just a matter of effective distribution. So, and I also think you have to consider the name Warp Speed. I mean, basically, Trump is a very, subtle, Q kind of guy. And the word warp always, struck me as an interesting name, because warp also means a little askew. So I just think people who want vaccines will have the option. He will never mandate vaccines. He said he wouldn't mandate vaccines. His daughter, Tiffany, said he would absolutely not mandate vaccines. So you don't have to worry about that. Besides, vaccines are a state issue. So, something like New York very rarely may mandate vaccines. So you have to move to a state that's not going to mandate the vaccine if that's the case.
Wow. That's a difficult thing to do if people are situated and well established in their community, maybe have a job, family, and yep. Just to avoid a vaccine they have to move. And that would be the only
That'll be the only thing. Yep. Definitely. They've already, pulling back on religious, religious
exemptions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so you have to kind of think in advance of what's going on here. But the thing is, with this, possibility of a Biden election and the face masks and the lockdowns, people are not going to have much jobs anyway. So they might as well move, if they can.
Nice.
I would move rather than getting a vaccine, that's for sure.
Well, I definitely would not take a vaccine of any kind.
Right.
Because I think that anybody who has taken a vaccine, since vaccines really came into being, there have been so many people who've been affected by them, not just autistically, but in many respects, I think even cancer is a result. And if you read books about vaccines, I have probably 20 or 30, they talk about cancer being relatively rare before the invention before vaccines.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is, to me, you're right on. That's absolutely my point of view. But my point of view from the spiritual level is that the body, I mean, don't people recognize the fact that, you get a cut and it bleeds by itself, then it stops bleeding, and then it heals itself. You don't have to look at your arm and say, okay, stop bleeding. Okay, heal yourself.
Right.
It's like amazing, it's amazing technology that we innately have by nature, by God. And if you just support that, I had an experience once, which is very interesting. I have been meditating for like 40 years, transcendental meditation, TM. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had experience once, I guess I'm about 40 years old, but I had experience once in a relationship where I was like, that afternoon, this person left for Sweden and that was the end of it. And I laid down in my bed and it was kind of a relationship that was like from another lifetime. It was a really like powerful experience of like knowing somebody that you felt you knew in another lifetime. So when he left, I was laying down in my bed and then I fell asleep and then I started having like a lucid experience, you know, and so in this experience, I was like knocking on the hospital door, you know, saying like, I got to come into the hospital. So I walk into this on a subtle plane. I walk into this hospital and I see this lady on the floor, like cleaning the floor. And, you know, I said, I've got to come into the hospital. Anyway, I had this experience of like being thrown on a gurney and like I was having like a heart attack. I was having some kind of a heart something or other. And so here I am aware because I'm a meditator. I'm aware that I'm having this experience, but I'm aware that I'm in bed. And so I'm going flipping around here, like having this kind of a heart situation. And all of a sudden, I smell this ammonia. You know, when you have a heart attack, they kind of like do this thing where they crack this thing and you
smell right.
ammonia. And it turns out that in the symbol of the dream, the lady that was washing the floor with ammonia. So being like totally awake during all this, I woke up like kind of like drooling, you know, from the experience. But the thing is, the reality is that we have access to every pharmaceutical there is. I mean, we have access to the cosmic pharmaceuticals. I mean, the fact that I got a big sniff of ammonia that didn't exist in what appears to be this reality, but it existed in the ethers where I was able to access it in order to come out of this little heart thing I was going on. So the thing is, if we were really embrace our own spirituality and we go within, we can access anything to heal. And because when we inject these things in our body, or, you know, especially this RNA vaccine here, you know, we basically are giving up our God-given, natural, exquisite, coherent, intelligent, you know, immune system.
There are actually more chemicals in your brain that would defeat whatever occurs to us than there are in big pharma.
Exactly. But you're thinking you have to like really, you know, really go within. Like Jesus,
right.
You know, Jesus said, you know, close the door, get into your closet, go within, you know, I and my Father are one. I mean, basically we have to realize that the source, who we are, we're not outside of God. I mean, God is omniscient, omnipresent. You know, there's nothing before God, after God. You can't go outside of God. God is omniscient. So therefore, who am I? Who are you? We're actually outpicturing of that essential energy so that we have total connection to God and total connection to anything in the universe.
Right. Very interesting. And of course, I think too that a lot of people are not aware of the mind-body connection. They just don't ever think about that kind of thing.
They've been severed from it, you know, basically, due to propaganda, due to the vaccines. I mean, Rudolf Steiner, who was a metaphysical clairvoyant, Christian clairvoyant in like 1900s, who was part of the Theosophy Society, and he's the Rudolf Steiner created the Waldorf system, biodynamic agriculture. He was a Christian, you know, a metaphysical clairvoyant person. He said there would come a time where they would invent vaccines that would preclude the ability to think spiritually. So what happens is that these kids are getting, by the time they're in the 12th grade, like 72 vaccine doses. They're getting a vaccine dose in utero now with the parent, with the mother. They
right.
get a vaccine dose in utero. They get a vaccine dose the day they're born. They get a vitamin D shot, which people think is a vitamin D shot, but it contains all sorts of things. If you're gonna get a vitamin K shot. If you're going to get a vitamin, you don't get a vitamin K shot. You can get like oral vitamin K if you want. But that vitamin K shot contains other stuff just like a vaccine. So they get a vaccine, they get a hepatitis vaccine when the day they're born. That's craziness.
Wow. It is amazing. Absolutely. It's awful. For instance, the Hep B, why would anybody think that would be a good idea? Especially if the mother isn't positive. And even if she were positive, the vaccine supposedly lasts for 7 years. And I don't see that a child is going to be engaging in
sexual
needle sharing or sexual activities or just, it's just amazing that people, it is amazing to me that mothers and fathers do not read the inserts or don't ask the questions that they should.
Well, I have three children, and when I was 27 years old, I mean, I went to the doctor. I mean, I didn't think about vaccines. Now, the fact that now we've been talking about vaccines for years, and it is the highlight now of the vaccine question. Parents are now thinking about vaccines. But when I was 27, you know, I just went to the doctor, and they did what they did. I didn't even think about vaccines. I didn't question vaccines. I think a lot of people are now questioning vaccines because of all the work we've been doing.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that when people started talking out about it, and I think it was also a result of all these children becoming ill
and that
with autism, yeah. And thinking, okay, there's got to be some reason. And there was a community, where was it, in New Jersey, that was just a percentage of people, children, who were autistic was just so high. And, pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we're going to a break. We will return momentarily with our guest.
What's with you and me? It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. Have to teach the children about living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in them. Watching us close, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Our guest this first hour today is Eileen Daneman, and she is the director of the National Coalition of Organized Women, and her website is Vaccine Liberation Army Com, and we're talking about vaccines and the probabilities and possibilities of the future. What's going on? What can we do? And Eileen mentioned that one could possibly move. And I did, during the break, I put a link in the chat room for the vaccine conditional acceptance document. It's an eight-page document, the printout. It's available at freedomtaker.com, which is run by Jerry Day. And it really gives you... the people who are going to vaccinate you have to sign this document. And what you're telling them is, I'd be happy to accept the vaccine if you will just, it's just a very interesting 8-page document. I have it already at my front door. And so anyway, it's at freedomtaker.com. Okay. Let's pick up where we left off.
Okay, so let's see. We have some, you know, I thought your first commercial there, you know, with, you know, getting support donation for the broadcast was very, very comprehensive. I enjoyed it.
Yes, it's very good. Very well done.
So some news that people may not know is that Dr. Roger Hodgkinson told Canadian government officials in Alberta during a phone conversation that the coronavirus pandemic is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the unsuspecting public. Hodgkinson's, who is the CEO of a biotech company that makes the COVID tests, he says that there is utterly you know, unfounded public hysteria driven by the media and politicians, you know, because of this COVID test. And, you know, positive results, he says, does not mean a clinical infection. Now, he's the guy that makes the test.
Wow.
All testing should stop because the false numbers they produce are driving public hysteria. He says that the risk of death for people under the age of 65 is 1 in 3,000. And it's outrageous to shut down the society for what just amounts to be another bad flu.
Right. And have you noticed also, and I'm sure a lot of other people have too, is that there aren't any deaths by by flu. There are not many deaths by some of the other things that people typically die of during a year's period of time or a month's period of time. So they're reporting everything, whether you got hit by a car or whatever, they're reporting it as a COVID test, which, of course, increases people's fears. But I talk to a lot of people and whenever I see people who do not have a mask on, I always say, oh, thanks for not wearing a mask.
Me too.
And there's a lot of people who know, they understand. But if you are licensed by the government, which many facilities are licensed by the government, you have an obligation to wear a mask, even if you do not believe that you, even if you do not believe in the efficacy of a mask.
Yeah, I have on my my website, just put it up, the legal basis for masks. In New York, where I am, one of our lawyers had won a case. It was not in the court because she won before it went to court. Some lady needed to take a license exam, and she could not wear a mask because of medical issues. And so this lawyer, you know, fought with the license department, which was probably a New York State license department, and won it. And so I have the two-page legal basis for mask, which says that at first it recites Governor Cuomo's executive order. Now, when you read the executive order, it actually says people with health issues do not have to wear a mask. And so, Then she puts down the disability, the American Disabilities Act, which says that if you have health issues, all right, you don't, you cannot be asked by anyone, you know, what is your health issue? Do you have a medical doctor's waiver? They can't ask those questions. If you don't want to wear a mask and you actually claim that you have health issues, they cannot ask you what health issues you have. Now, right. The problem is, I was on a bus going to New York City from Long Island, and I got on the bus with a mask, but I took the mask off rather quickly, and then basically made the whole trip, got to the Midtown Tunnel, and I didn't have my mask on, and the gal came and like screamed at me for not wearing a mask, and I said, I don't have to wear a mask, you know, I have health issues. And she just continued to scream. The bus driver stopped the bus. Everybody screamed at me to get off the bus, get off the bus, get off. It was a horrible situation. Now the thing is, even though I had this paper that showed, you know, the Cuomo's, executive order, the whole nine yards, they don't look at it. So now I have contacted, the mayor of the small town and asked them, well, the actual legality is that Cuomo in his executive order says you don't have to wear a mask if you claim to have a health issue. However, the practical reality of being in a store or a bus or anyplace else is that these people won't listen to you. So the question is, do I have to have a pass? Do I have to, like, you know, here I have the law on my side, but how am I going to, like, practically say to somebody that I walk into a store, hey, I don't have to wear a mask. They throw you out. They call the police. So something has to be done, but I'm working on it. But if anybody wants that document, they can carry it around with them. It's on my website, vaccineliberationarmy.com.
Okay, and it is, is that the, let's see, which download, is that on your...
You'd probably, I think in the search engine, you can put face masks.
Oh, okay, good, good, good. Another thing too that I noted on your website is FDA, and I read it elsewhere, is that the FDA declares homeopathy illegal.
Yeah, new.
What's that about?
Yeah, that's, I just found that out. That's a recent post. Well, you know, with the, all the good stuff, the vitamins and everything else, homeopathy. Yeah, they're trying to get rid of homeopathy.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, the whole thing, this is interesting what I think, and that is that this fear, this vibration of fear that's going on, of course, everybody knows that that lowers your consciousness. It's kind of like your frequency, you're like a radio.
Yeah.
If you turn your radio dial to fear, like, you know, 102, that's where you're vibrating. So you're vibrating in this fear level and you attract negative things to yourself. So if you vibrate, you know, you increase your consciousness, you meditate, pray, whatever it takes, you know, you turn off the television, like you say, and you calm yourself down, you're actually dialing your dial, your radio dial to a different channel. You know, different frequency. And that's what you have to do. I've decided that the reason everybody is so freaked out is because they're afraid to die. I mean, we're in the most primordial moment of the most deepest fear of the fear of death. And so it's really an opportunity to realize that that's the crux of the matter. But you know something? We're all going to die one day. You can't get away from it. And so the thing is, you know, people are so afraid to die that they sit in an old lady's home, you know, drooling, sitting in a wheelchair, taking 15 different, you know, prescription drugs, and they're still afraid to die. So the thing is, you know, 45-year-olds are afraid to die. People are afraid to die. If you're really spiritual and you've really gone within and you really, you know, have a comprehensive view of the entire cosmic, you know, machine, you're not going to be afraid to die because you can't die because consciousness lives forever. I mean, you know, my experience is like, and my experience of many other people is like, you know, when you shuffle off this thick, dense reality, you're still aware and you're alive in a more subtle reality. So people have to get with a spiritual, you know, a spiritual practice so that they can, you know, hold themselves through this aggressive, evil, you know, momentum that's going on. This whole mark of the beast is actually at our doorstep right now. It's at our doorstep. And not even just thinking of this marks, you know, with the vaccine giving us this nanotech, you know, non-biological insert into our systems to merge with transhumanism, which is like hell on earth. You know, we're right at the door, at the threshold here, and people, you know, just better go within and start meditating, getting themselves together and raising their frequency so they can, you know, save themselves.
Exactly. I meditate. I practice energy medicine. Singing bowls. There's just a lot of things that you can do in order to raise your frequency. I have a daily energy routine that I do. I trace my meridians. I do all of that stuff.
Right.
And I don't know where I would be without that. Yep. And it can bring you, good health, and you can maintain good health. And really, you do not have to belong to a 501c3 church. In fact, that's probably not a very good idea, to belong to a corporation. It needs to be something that you can enjoy and feel all the time, everywhere, no matter where you're at, and not just when you're in a building, and listening to whatever it is that is being preached.
I mean, I am the temple. I mean, every individual.
Yes, you are. Yes, we all are.
The temple. So
yes.
That, you know, to be in a collective place is very nice, you know, but be in a collective place is like if you have a, you know, a barrel of apples, you still have to, each individual has to be a good, healthy apple. I mean, so.
Exactly.
The priority is to actually create a vibration and then associate with vibrations that are similar, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. There's an email question for you.
Okay.
I'll read it. Is your guest really sure that the 50 states have a right to make vaccinations mandatory? My understanding is Americans have a right to refuse such things. Am I wrong about that? Perhaps you've answered that, because it appears that all 50 states are kind of on board.
Well, the thing is this, legally speaking, okay, the legislators of all 50 states have, they have the power to control vaccines, but basically it's been about schools. So what they've done is they don't mandate vaccines when you're born. They don't mandate vaccines for any other reason heretofore, except when you're going to school, and in the case of the smallpox epidemic, there was a constitutional question brought to the Supreme Court. Whereas a man said he didn't want to get this vaccine, the smallpox vaccine, and because it was an epidemic, he was supposed to get the smallpox vaccine, but the judge said he could take a penalty instead. So it was a choice between a vaccine and a penalty. He had to take a penalty. But today what they do is based on that constitutional law is that and that was not a statewide thing. That was a national, quote-unquote, emergency. And so today, like in Australia and other places, they make the penalty, like if they mandate vaccines, they make the penalty like craziness, like $6,000 or something like that. So there is this possibility of an emergency basically a crazy pandemic emergency with the possibility could be at some point a national mandate of vaccines. It wouldn't happen with Trump, but generally speaking, it belongs to the states, and it actually doesn't belong to, it's not making people get vaccinated heretofore unless you're in school, but it is moving towards getting vaccinated if you want to take a plane. You know, they're creating what's called like a passport, a health passport. So we're at very dangerous times right now. I mean, basically you may not be able to get on a plane. And this COVID, by the way, this COVID-19 emanates from a man-made manipulated virus called bioweaponry. It's called gain of function. Now this is really interesting. It's on my website. You put gain of function in the search engine. So all this time for decades, there are researchers with grants from NIH and such and Fauci and all, has been doing research called gain of function. Now what is gain of function? Gain of function is when you take a animal virus that will not jump species under any circumstances. You usually don't get a cold from a cat or cold from a dog. So they take a virus from a bat, a swine, a camel, a dog, and they gain in function by actually manipulating it so that it will infect a human being. Now you might ask yourself, why would you do that? And the answer is they tell these researchers that other countries will do this to do biowarfare, so we got to get ahead of the game. So in 2014, Obama stopped this gain of function research. It's been going on for quite a long time, you know, at bioweaponry to infect human beings. And so what happened, to my knowledge, is that Fauci and the whole bioweaponry research people were no longer allowed to do that kind of research. So what they did, see, most of their research all this time, if you looked at the studies, is there's an American lead author, and the rest of the authors are like Chinese, you know, Wang Tang, Wing Ting Bing, mm-hmm. You know, and so therefore we have a very close relationship with China, Chinese people and researchers all this time. So when it was restricted in the United States, Fauci and others basically sent their colleagues, you know, back to China. Because Wuhan, you know, has only been like 5 years. It's only a high security laboratory. It's only 5 years old. And so Fauci like sent his colleagues and others back to China, and where they can do that research because we're not supposed to do it anymore. So in order to have, you know, skin in the game, Fauci and others, C.B. Lieber from Harvard, people like this, you know, they have skin in the game. By having their researchers they've been working with for decades, work out of China. So as far as this virus is concerned, when you look at my website, Gain of Function, you'll see a video that's going to be like 10 minutes of the inside conference of a bioweaponry conference where they're actually saying, yeah, we manipulated H5N1, we manipulated this, we manipulated that, and let's discuss the risks. Oh yeah, they can escape, like, you know, like the Lyme disease, like the tick, you know, the, it can escape, and it's a really riveting little, 10-minute video. Plus, Dr. Peter Breggins does a thing called Fauci Treachery, which is a really good thing. It's a really, you know.
Was that the video that he made?
Breggins, I only see, it's a document called, Treachery. But, but you connect that to the bioweaponry video I have, and together it's like they're confirming to us that they manipulate these vaccines, these viruses, and that's what this is.
Sure.
And this SARS-2, COVID-19, is actually a derivative from a manipulated virus. So like this craziness is going on, and now they want to give us an RNA vaccine, nanotechnology with non-biological material, you know, insert into our body where it's directed into our DNA, which has not been done before. Of course, it's been done before. In other words, secretly, they've probably been doing it to Africans. But the fact is, officially, a vaccine hasn't been created with this RNA DNA vaccine. And everyone who takes it is a victim and a guinea pig.
Right. Well, they've been, we've all been guinea pigs for a very, very long time. For instance, microwave used to be used in warfare. And now most people have a microwave in their home, which irradiates all of the vitamins out of it. And God only knows what it's doing to your body.
Oh, I don't have a one, but you know, it's another interesting.
I don't either. I got rid of mine. I did have one. I got one early on, but then I read about it and got rid of it.
Yeah. But you know something? I'm into like building. It turns out that you know, I like metal roofs. I mean, they're really pretty. But I found out that, you know, if you have a metal roof and inside you have your, you know, computer and your EMFs and with the smart, you know, stove and the smart this. Well, you have a metal roof, it becomes like a cage. It's not a good idea. Oh, it's too bad because I like metal roofs.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just found that out. What depressing.
And they also outlawed lead paint some years back. They said, oh, you know, children are putting chips of lead paint into their mouths. But that was not the case. There was a pediatrician that said in all her years of practice that she'd never run across any child that had swallowed lead paint. And the reason that they outlawed lead paint, using children, you know, they always use exploit children. Oh, we've got to
help the kids.
And as it turns out, lead, would have prevented them being able to see into your home, to be able to spy on you.
Oh yeah.
Or to radiate you.
Well, I hear that ring monitor, you know, you can buy on TV, you know, monitor, is that it's part of a scheme that everyone has this camera on their home. So it actually helps the whole tracking system and the whole, social tracking so that the government doesn't have to put cameras all over the place. We're doing it to ourselves.
Oh, gosh. My gosh. And on your website, you do have the new COVID tech is wearable and constantly tracks the wearer. And you have an image of this this trackable object.
Yes, so in some universities and all that, they have now made something that looks like, you know, a diabetes thing where you see on television or commercials that if you have this little patch, you know, you can control your insulin or whatever. It looks like a patch like that, a little device that you stick on your chest that actually tracks you, you know. I mean, they're getting very close to injecting you, obviously.
Right.
And here they have technology now to, you know, to track you. And of course your phone tracks you as well. But the thing is, we're getting really close, very close. This whole frequency of this mark of the beast is getting very close.
I agree. Amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't watched TV. I keep mentioning this. But because I'm just so proud of myself, I haven't watched TV. I turned it off in March and I unplugged it, turned it off, and haven't had it on since. And I think that I'm avoiding a lot of bad frequency. And
probably, yeah.
So I feel very proud of myself that I haven't done that. And and I really don't miss anything. I don't know, guys.
You know, the whole election thing with Trump, I mean, I have to say that, me being a bad girl, you know, I do watch, I'm watching this election, you know, thing with Trump and Biden. I have to admit I'm a little attached to that. But I balance it with my meditation. I live in the middle of the woods, you know.
Wonderful.
I live in a pine tree forest.
Oh, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And you get to hug all those trees.
If you want
to ground yourself, go hug a tree.
And I'm always barefoot, too. I'm a real nature girl.
Absolutely. You should go barefoot because the shoes that we now wear, that most people wear, have rubber soles. So you're unable to be grounded. You need to have contact with the earth because women get their energy, their energy. Now, I'm not talking stamina, I'm talking energy from the earth. And men receive their energy from up above. The yang energy, and we get it from the earth, the yin. And so it's just all very interesting. People do need to earth themselves, to go outside, walk in the grass barefoot, and hug a tree. You know, ground yourself by doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, when you think about the earth and the way it produces food, that it's very feminine in that way. You know, it's very fecundity. You know, it actually very fertile. So you would think of it more as the yin energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There's the giving, the recipient, and the, what's the other word, provider, the one projects, one receives.
Right.
That kind of situation. And it's all very coordinated. You have a yin side of your body and a yang side of your body, and your meridians are the same way. The yin meridians they travel up the inside of your legs, and the yang energies travel up the outside of your legs, the yang side.
I think one goes down and one goes up.
Well, it depends on which one you're working with. Like your stomach meridian, it starts just under your eyes, that stomach one, goes around and it goes down. And some, such as your spleen meridian, starts at your big toe, the corner of your big toe, and it goes up. So it just depends on which meridian. And there are 12 meridians, or 14 meridians, and two of them are system, and the others are attached to or associated with an organ. Like your triple warmer meridian is a system meridian. Sex is a system meridian. So it's just, it just depends on your needs and what. And you also have a rhythm. Everybody has a certain rhythm that is associated with their preferences, with the way they live. Not astrology, but oftentimes you're born with into the meridian or into the rhythm that you are. I'm a metal earth.
I'm a yang gold.
Oh, okay, well you're probably talking about a different, they're probably the same, but in a different system or whoever's writing about it. But yeah, there's the water meridian, which is associated with your bladder and your kidney. the spring, which is associated with your liver. Let's see, your liver, your gallbladder and your liver. Then, fire, which is summer, which is associated with your heart and small intestine. Then you have earth, earth rhythm. It's associated with your stomach and your spleen. And, your autumn meridian, which is associated with your large intestine and lung. And if you experience health issues, they will typically be associated with the rhythm that you have. For instance, like I mentioned, the earth's rhythm, is associated with stomach issues. It's also associated with, spleen issues. And also you can live, fairly well without, the meridians, or without the organs, the yang organs, but you cannot live without the yin organs. The yin organs are your kidney, liver, heart, spleen, and your
pancreas.
Lungs.
How about the pancreas?
No, you can live without one. You couldn't live without a spleen. You couldn't live without a liver. It's all on a chart. It's just very interesting.
I wonder why people with pancreatic cancer.
Because the cancer is killing them, not necessarily the fact that it's the pancreas.
If they remove the pancreas, though, if they have pancreatic cancer, if they remove the pancreas, could they live?
I don't know enough about it to really give an answer. I know it's very fast that if you get pancreatic cancer, it's almost a death sentence.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I'm trying to, and I don't know about it either. But you know, they can remove a kidney and you have the other kidney to work.
When you remove the kidney, you're eliminating the possibility. See, you're born with two kidneys because you need two.
Yeah.
And when people sacrifice or say, oh, I've got another one, if they ever have any problems, with their kidney, that's it. So you're born with two, you're born with one liver, two lungs. I know of somebody that did have lung cancer. They took out one of his lungs. And you can live, but you certainly couldn't live without either one of them. But, people have bypass surgery and they sacrifice their large intestine. Or they have
gallbladder.
People all the time have the gallbladder taken out when they shouldn't.
Right.
Because there are ways of taking care of the stones or whatever it is that is troubling you.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they took my tonsils.
Oh, which they should never do.
I know.
I wish I had all the parts that I've had taken out. it would be, I think that if I knew then what I know now, I would never have had any issues. I would not have had any surgeries. I wouldn't have even been going to an allopathic Western medicine doctor. But I was a child. I just went along with, you're a child. You have no choices. So you just, oh my gosh, we're out of time. We have to do this again.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Bye, Deanna.
Bye-bye. Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back.